We're going to go ahead and get started. I'm sure other people will jump on as the hour goes on, but we don't want to keep you guys past the time period here. We want to welcome everyone. We're so happy that you were all able to take time tonight to spend the next hour with us to discuss the upcoming election and ways in which that we can mobilize our members, our friends, our families, and our communities to get out and vote on November 8th. Your participation tonight shows that you understand how important this election is. The economy, the makeup of Congress, the future of the court, Supreme Court, the future decisions that will come out of the National Labor Relations Board, those all hang in the balance. So this election, there seems to be a lot of noise and outrageousness happening. We saw that last night with the vice presidential debates, and sometimes it's difficult to know how to get through all of that and know exactly what to say to people, particularly those undecideds that will be so crucial to the outcome of this election. So we want to try and find ways to convince these people to see which candidate is clearly better for the future of working people. So OPIU has partnered with the AFL's political department, their campaigns department, to put together today's session to do just that. We're going to share tested messaging to know what to say, and we're going to talk about different methods to help carry those messages to our members. So since there's quite a few people on the phone tonight, and there's a very good chance that whatever questions you have will be answered later in the session, we're going to ask that you hold all your questions for the end. We'll have a Q&A at the end. If after that you don't feel like your questions were answered, then feel free to email me, and I'll make sure that you get an answer. We'll also have a few opportunities throughout to get your opinions throughout the session, and we're going to try and make this as interactive and interesting as possible for you. And you don't need to copy down the information you see on your screen or anything, because we have sent you the PowerPoint already, and we also sent you some of the materials that are going to be referenced in the call tonight now. So I'd like to introduce some folks who will be facilitating the webinar. On the technical side, we have Jamie Garcia of the AFL-CIO Campaigns Department. She's going to make sure that all the slides run smoothly for us, and open your mics if you need to ask a question at the end. And then leading the webinar is Yvette De La Cruz. She is the National Campaign Training Coordinator for the AFL-CIO. And I have talked enough, so I'm going to turn it over to Yvette with my thanks. And Yvette.
Thank you, Nicole. And welcome, everyone, to this OPIU Activist Briefing for Labor 2016. I'm going to start out by doing a quick review of the goals of this webinar and go through what we're going to cover. So first, we're going to start with what are the target states for labor? What is labor's work across the country, and what's going to help put us over the victory line on November 8th? Second, we're going to look at some of the latest polling. How's it looking in our Tier 1 states? And we'll look at both some of the general public numbers and union-specific numbers. After that, we're going to go a little bit deeper into our field program. What does it include, and what's it going to take for us to win? Then, as Nicole mentioned, we're going to look closer at some latest messaging. These are tested messages with union households to see what's really going to move our members to both vote our endorsed candidates and turn out on election day. And lastly, we're going to look at mobilizing our members. How do we plug our members and activists into the work of Labor 2016? So let's start first by looking at those target states. And we'll go one more slide, Jamie. So we look at the 2016 campaign prioritization for Labor 2016. As you can see, the dark blue states represent Tier 1. The light blue states represent our Tier 2 states. What makes something a Tier 1 versus a Tier 2 or a non-tier state? It comes down to our union density, multiple targets for labor, and how much influence we can have on the outcomes. We simply don't have the resources of the movement to be active in all of these states in the way we would want to. So we really look closely at where can we have the greatest impact for our resources, and that primarily means union density and our ability to sway an election in a particular state or area of a state. So let's look a little closer at each of these states. The presidential race, of course, is key for so many reasons, some that Nicole already went through, the Supreme Court nomination, all of the anti-union cases that are currently pending and working their way through the courts, as well as the push for many politicians who'd like to see national rights work that we need to fight off. You can see here all of our Tier 1 states, with the exception of Missouri, are key to the presidential outcome. In addition, they all have a targeted Senate race to help us take back the Senate and really ensure we can move things for working people and working families. Missouri is a Tier 1 state because we need to hold on to both the legislature, the governor's house, and pick up that Senate seat. And the reason we need to hold them is because Missouri is under a right-to-work attack. We've held it off, but we can have to continue to keep the legislature and the governor's seat in order to make sure Missouri does not become the next right-to-work state. As you can see from our Tier 2 states, they're mixed across the board. Some of these are Senate targets. Some have a legislature that's very important or governor's races. These are the states that we are working in across the country. But let's look a little closer at some current polling on the presidential vote. This is general public current polling based on an average of recent polls. So some of this now reflects information coming off of the most recent presidential debate. As you can see, in Florida, Clinton is leading by 3%, and again, these are general public numbers. In Nevada, it's a dead heat. North Carolina, she's up by 1. Ohio, and we continue to struggle here, 4 points down, and she is leading 4 and 5% respectively in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. So current margins are very slight. Our union contacts, our union turnout, and our union vote can swing each of these states and mean the difference between a Clinton presidency and a Trump presidency. Let's look at Missouri. As I said, we really need to hold on to the governor's seat. In addition, there's a targeted Senate race. We're down by 3 points on the Senate race, but that margin has been closing. Again, reaching out to our union households can make a difference in that race. With a comfortable lead, 11% in the gubernatorial race, but it still means we need to turn our members out to make sure that we hold on to that seat in that state race. That's the general public, and we know that union households vote at a higher percentage rate. Let's look more closely at some of the union polling for our national battleground states. We know these races are tight. Here's where we can make a difference. Let's take a look first by member type. As you can see here, we have a comfortable margin across the board for all member types, active, retired, and household. 17% difference for our active members, 23% for our retirees, and 9% for our households. Unfortunately, for two of those, retirees and households, we've actually lost ground from the last polling that happened before the September 2nd member poll. We need to continue to have those conversations with our union households, union members, whether they're active or retirees. Let's take a look across the country. Geographic differences, the same for union households, is tracking closely with the general public. Doing very well in those urban centers, 25% difference. Coming out strongly for Clinton in those suburban areas, about 18%, but we still lag in those rural areas at 4%. This is key. I'm currently working in the state of Ohio, and we're investing more and more time, not only turning out in those urban centers, but making sure we're talking to our members and union households in those rural areas to bring those numbers up. And just like the general public, we're also struggling with younger workers. When we look at our membership based on age, we have the slightest difference, still a good margin, but still slight, of 9% for that age group of 18 to 49. This is an increase of where we were before, but it's still a challenge for us to really reach our younger members and explain to them why Hillary Clinton is the best person to be president and the most qualified. We have a much stronger lead with our folks who are in that mid-range, 50 to 64, but unfortunately, as you can see at the bottom under the margin change, we've actually lost ground with this group by 4%. For our retirees, much stronger rate, 21% difference. But again, we continue to lose ground, in this case, 2% difference over the last time we surveyed. So we have our work cut out for us. Our biggest challenge really is those younger workers and younger members in our locals. When we look at income range, we do see a larger difference. For union households and union members who earn under $50,000 a year, it's a much bigger margin. It's a 23% difference. But for our members who are earning over $50,000, it's a 12% margin. We really need to be reaching out and talking to our members in those other income ranges to bring them and educate them on why they need to vote Clinton, because it's in their best economic interest. I want to do a quick look at the presidential vote when we're comparing general public to union households. across the board, we can see that union members are supporting Hillary Clinton and are outperforming the general public. In this case, if we look across the board, 15% for all union households, a very slight 2% for non-union households, and those households that are both non-union and non-college educated, it's a 5-point deficit, with those households coming out much more strongly for Trump. Every conversation, every time we connect with our members and move them in this presidential election, we will have an impact on the election. Let's look at the impact of member-to-member conversations. Progress in this election, every single percentage point makes a difference. And as you saw, most of the polls show either a tie or less than a 5-point margin. This particular graph shows the percentage of union members that indicate they've heard from their union. As you can see, we have a lot more work to do to reach out to our members, particularly for those very important door conversations. Door-to-door, like our workplace conversations, can have a greater impact on who our members vote for and the likelihood that they will turn out to vote. We have good recognition here in the workplace conversations, 20-25%. Workplace flyers, 37%. Those doors, a very small margin that we really need to move up, 5-6%. Phones and those online outreach. But we know the two that have the greatest impact are workplace conversation and the door. Both numbers we need to get up. Our AFL-CIO member surveys from the 2014 election showed an average of an 8-point increase of union voter turnout across our targeted states, with individual states ranging from a 3-point difference to as much as a 13-point difference when members have been contacted by their union. And while those state increases vary, the constant is that across all the states, contacted union members increase their rate of voting. So that difference in the contact rate this year can be the margin and the difference that it's going to take to win this election. Looking at this overview and seeing clearly the impact we can have, let's take a look at the program that we're wanting to build, those workplace conversations and those door-to-door conversations. We have our work cut out for us, no doubt. But first, I'd like to get an idea of what kind of experience folks on this call have. We're going to do a quick poll to get a sense of your experience with this kind of work. And remember, there's no right or wrong answer here. Whether you've been doing electoral work for years for your union, or whether you're new to electoral work and have never before participated in a political campaign, we are all in this together and we all have something to offer. What I ask you to do now is to please press the number on your phone if you're calling in through your phone. If you are listening to the audio on your computer, please press the number on your computer based on your experience. So please press 1 if you have phone banked on a political campaign. Press 2 if you've ever canvassed on a political campaign. Press 3 if you've recruited volunteers for a political campaign. Press 4 if you haven't done any of these things yet, but you're really excited to be a part of this year's election. And for those super folks who have done a lot of this, and you've done it, everyone, pick the one that you've done the most of. Again, that's 1 if you've phone banked, 2 if you've canvassed, 3 if you've recruited volunteers, 4, you're just now getting this experience, but you're really excited to be part of this year's election. I'm going to give Jamie a moment to tabulate our results. All right, so it looks like we have 5 people who phone banked, we have 6 folks who canvassed, another 5 who've recruited volunteers, and 1 person who is new to this work. Welcome. All of you are going to bring tremendous amount of energy to this campaign, and you are what we need in talking to union members. So again, I appreciate your time being on this call today. Let's look more closely at the 4 pillars. But for those of you who have experience, these may be familiar with you. We have 4 main components of our field program. There's all-important worksite conversations, 2nd, those phone banks, 3, local union mail, and 4, our door-to-door conversations. Let's go through each of these with a little bit more information. First, those worksite conversations. Worksite conversations offer us the best opportunity to engage our members in a thoughtful, targeted conversation. We recognize that there are limitations for some worksites, whether those are public sector worksites work sites that have access limitations. But the best thing about worksite conversations is we have a higher contact rate. There isn't such a thing as they're not home. And we immediately have a personal connection through our work, and the conversations we have can continue over time. For those people I work with on a daily basis, I can talk to them on the way into work or at lunch or an afternoon break and continue to draw them out and listen to their concerns. In addition, worksite conversations give us the opportunity to update contact information and use pledge cards to have our members make a commitment to vote on November 8th. We'll look more closely at the pledge cards later in this presentation. Ideally, in our Tier 1 and Tier 2 states, we are working with local union coordinators to conduct free blitzes of their worksites during this election cycle in order to maximize those frontline worksite conversations. The second element, phone banking. This is a key piece of our field program. Union members and union activists are the most trusted messengers when talking to other union members. We currently have phone banks running around the country, including some remote locations like in Washington, D.C. or California, where union members and activists are calling from non-targeted states into our battleground state to support the efforts on the ground. There are many opportunities for our activists to participate in phone bank conversations, including through virtual phone banks. Our virtual phone bank is a system where activists can make calls from their union hall or from their home using a virtual system. We'll reference later in this presentation how you can set up a virtual phone bank for members in your local. The third component, local union mail. Just as union activists and members are the most trusted messenger when talking to other union members, mail from a member's local union can have a greater impact than any other campaign material. Flyers and voter cards are all very important parts of a campaign, but a letter from the local union can have a much greater impact because it's coming from a trusted messenger and someone they know. The goal for Labor 2016 is 3 pieces of local union mail to the membership during this election cycle. In Ohio, where I'm currently working, some local unions started with a mailing on voter registration in addition to educating on the candidates. They're set to go with a second piece of mail that highlights vote by mail and early voting, again, with that all-important information on the candidates and why Hillary Clinton is the best choice for working families. And finally, they're set to do a third piece that will do that all-important get out the vote for their members shortly before the election day. And our last piece is that door-to-door, the component that we really need to amp up with our union members and our union households. Decades of research has consistently shown that face-to-face contact increases turnout in a variety of election types. Door-to-door canvassing has also proven to be an effective method for voter persuasion. When we have those conversations face-to-face, we are more apt to be able to persuade somebody to change their mind and to turn them out to vote. No one else has the infrastructure to run an effective field program at the scale and speed that we can do it. And that's why we're doubling down on our ground game this year. Member-to-member contact on the doors is a key part of our success in this election. It gives us another opportunity to engage in conversation, move our members using the issues they care about, and to identify them for that all-important get-out-the-vote effort. These are 4 components of our field program. But the most important element to all of these, whether it's doors or phones or work sites, is having that effective one-on-one conversation. A conversation that includes tested messages that creates a personal connection and makes a clear ask. Let's hear from all of you what concerns you're hearing about from the members in your workplace. Looking at this, we want to know which of these come up most often in your workplace when you hear folks expressing concerns about the presidential race. Press 1 if you're mostly hearing about the issue of trade and shipping jobs overseas. Press 2 if it's more on women's rights and equality in the workplace. Press 3 if what you're hearing most is jobs in the economy. Press 4 for guns or the Second Amendment. And press 5 if the biggest issue is national security, safety, or terrorism. So if you would press 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on your phone, corresponding to what you hear most, and we appreciate that there may be other issues you're hearing more of in your workplace, but our technology limits us to 5 selections. And we'll give Jamie a moment to tabulate our results, and then we'll take a look. So it looks like the most consistent one is trade shipping jobs overseas. Second biggest concerns would be jobs and the economy. Then, make sure I get this right, national security, safety, and terrorism, guns and the Second Amendment, and then women's right equality in the workplace. Thank you, Jamie. And there are so many issues of concern to our members, and part of this is finding out what their biggest concern is and then using tested messaging to move them in support of Hillary Clinton and other endorsed candidates. With the constant barrage of TV ads in this election, many of our members have negative views on Clinton that are informed not by their knowledge of her experience or even her positions on these key issues, but rather by the attack ads they see from the opposition. So it's important for us as activists to be prepared with tested messaging on issues our members care about, like trade or jobs, so that we can have effective conversations in the worksite, on the doors, and on the phone. Not all messaging is effective. Even messaging we've used previously that moves people in the right direction may no longer work. The AFL-CIO continues to conduct polling with union members and households to test message frameworks and identify which are the most effective message frames for moving our members. This grid highlights differences between the presidential candidates on 3 key issues: workers' rights, women, and infrastructure. Union members may not be clear on Trump's position on right to work or that he opposes equal pay for women. Both of these key messages can help us move our members to support Clinton for president. I've been working in Ohio since August, and I've had many conversations with our members who are leaning Trump, but were unaware he is pro-right to work. By having those conversations and providing specifics on the candidate's position, we can move our members in the right direction. Here's a comparison of 3 other key issues in this election, some of which you all mentioned in the polling: trade, guns, and national security. When I reference guns, this is a big issue for us here in Ohio and talking to our members. This is not just good things to use. These messages are tested. So, for example, with the guns message, these 2 pieces for Hillary Clinton. So someone on the FBI terrorist watch list shouldn't be able to buy a gun with no questions asked. When we use that specific messaging with polling with union members and union households, for some groups of our union members, they moved as much as 20 points in support of Clinton once they understood her position and we used these message frameworks. You will have all of these tested messaging guides. They're very deliberate, and they're all tested messages to see what's most effective with our members. And I know that we're preaching to the choir here, but let's pause for a moment to compare Hillary and Trump on a couple of other issues. Looking at where Clinton and Trump stand on these issues, it's no contest who is the right candidate for working families. For example, Hillary Clinton has a long record of supporting paid family medical leave. She supports raising the minimum wage, something that would have a tremendous impact on working families, particularly women and people of color. Now, while we may think the choice is obvious as to which candidate is better for working people, it can sometimes be challenging to engage our members in a political conversation and to pivot to those all-important economic issues that are at stake in this election. Even for the most experienced organizer and activist, it can be difficult to pivot in those conversations with our members. So as part of the messaging resource materials that you all will have access to, we've also developed pivot messages to help move our members. Let's look at a pivot for one particularly challenging issue. And this time I'm going to ask for an electronic show of hands first. I'm just going to press 1. If you've heard anything along the lines of, honestly, I can't stand either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, I'm not voting for either. If you've heard that from friends, families, colleagues, in the workplace, please press 1 on your phone. We'd like to get a sense of how common that statement is in your worksite or in your community. Thank you. And it looks like the numbers keep going up. So we have over 60% of the folks on the phone have heard that. And it's something that we continue to hear on the doors and on the phone with union members and even with the general public. People are just fed up in this election cycle. So it's up to us as activists and as union leaders to reinforce the notion that politics is a team sport and provide an example of the impact of a small margin of vote on the outcome of an election. Both of these can be a powerful message to move our members and pivot them to the real issues that are at stake. Incorporating examples that resonate with your members is even more effective. So here's a few examples of elections that were won by narrow margins. In 2000, George W. Bush won the presidency by winning Florida, and he won there by only 537 votes. Out of hundreds of thousands of votes cast, it came down to 537. In 2004, he won re-election by winning Ohio. He won there by fewer than 14 votes per precinct. This is an example of the pivot point we are using with our members and our and the general public when we're knocking and talking to folks. Their vote makes a difference. And we know that these message materials don't always fit exactly your particular worksite or your membership. We invite you to adapt these materials to best fit the unique situation for your members. But keep in mind, these messaging materials are designed to help union activists have effective one-on-one conversations and are the result of tested messaging. We'd like to look now at some recent outcomes. Would you go to the next slide for me? Coming off of the recent presidential debate, we talk about words that work or key messages that make a difference. And I know this slide is a little bit crowded. At the bottom, what you're seeing in the box is the actual text of the statement made by Trump. The lines indicate different types of voters that were being assessed during the presidential debate. So the top blue line is college educated. The purple line is persuadable, those folks we think we can move our way. The red line is white non-college. The orange line, white unmarried women. And lastly, the green millennials. And you can see as the lines move throughout how people react to very specific language. So that first box where Trump said, you look at what China is doing to our country, you begin to see a split between the different groups. If you go to the end, I'll be reducing taxes tremendously, there's a huge margin of difference. This resonated with college-educated and persuadable. It didn't resonate as much with white non-college, white unmarried women, and millennials. Just a few words and phrases has a huge impact. But let's look more closely some of the language that Hillary Clinton used during this debate and its impact on potential voters. You can see here the phrase, an economy that works for everyone, not just those at the top. So all five groups move up in their support of Hillary Clinton and her messaging. Across the board, but most specifically with white unmarried women having the largest increase. If you look at, we can do it by having the wealthy pay their fair share, you start to see the lines go down, but there is a split between these different groups. This is an example of how very specific language can move voters in support or opposition of a candidate. In this case, the progressive economic agenda that overwhelmingly supports when she was saying it during the debate. And this is what a key takeaway we'd like you to have is thinking about those key phrases when you are talking to your members in order to have an effective conversation to move them on the issues to support Clinton and to vote. So let's go a little bit deeper into what are the steps to having an effective one-on-one conversation. The most effective is to have a structured conversation that engages others in a discussion about what they care about. Effective one-on-one conversations are as much about listening as they are about speaking. Listening to that member, hearing their concerns and tying their interest into voting for Clinton using tested messaging. The tested messaging we've gone through provides us the language framework for these conversations. We encourage you to use a structure to those conversations. In this case, we have an introduce, share, inquire, inform, and ask. Let's walk through each of these steps. First, that introduction. The reason you are the best messenger for these conversations is that you're the coworker. You're a person that knows these folks. You're the person who works next to them every day, and you're a union activist and leader. You have credibility that a TV ad or a piece of mail never will. You have the ability to have those conversations in a non-controversial, non-awkward way. That's all you need to do is introduce yourself and connect as a union member. Second is to share. Share why you're volunteering. Why are you investing your time to talk to other union members? And there's no perfect script here. All of us get involved for different reasons, and that's great. But share your connection, why you're investing your time, and what your personal story is for you and your family in relation to the economy. What's important to you? Third step, inquire. You've shared your personal story and why you're investing your time to volunteer. Ask them what they're thinking about the election. How do they think it's going to impact their family? Or how do they think it's going to impact their shared work? Listen to their concerns. This is going to provide you the connection to the messaging and know the best way to pivot for that member. Fourth is to inform. Where it makes sense, share the contrast between Hillary and Trump. As we saw when looking at those message boxes, there are plenty of ways to draw contrast between the two candidates. Tie that contrast to the member's concern. And it's pretty easy. Donald Trump supports right to work. Hillary doesn't. In fact, while she stood with workers on picket lines, he crossed picket lines. She supports raising the minimum wage. He doesn't even support a minimum wage. She supports equal pay. He doesn't. The stakes in this election couldn't be clearer for working people. Final step is that ask. Get a commitment. As the conversation progresses, make a hard ask. You'll commit to voting this November? You commit to voting and supporting Hillary Clinton? Can you fill out this pledge card? Have that hard ask at the end. That's the framework for an effective one-on-one, a structured approach using tested messaging. But there's one last step to consider for those effective one-on-ones, and that's personalizing your ramp. Being an effective messenger is making that personal link to the big picture. How can you help your members connect their personal experiences to the presidential race and voting? Beyond the conversation guide itself, let's walk through some best practices. For each type of conversation, whether it's worksite, phone, Canvas, we have scripts that can help you outline a structured conversation using those tested messages with a clear ask. Language matters, and the scripts are built on our experience and our data. But you should absolutely personalize these things, knowing that the scripts are designed to help make the conversation successful, but it's up to you to make the personal connection. Next, and we've already said this, we do this that this is a conversation between two people, and it will always be more effective than any other kind of contact. Lastly, practice makes perfect. It's one thing to be confident in that you are a real person. Your coworkers don't expect you to be policy experts, and they really don't expect you to know every answer to every question regarding a particular candidate. So don't feel like you need to memorize talking points or policy positions. You're a real person talking to real people. Personalize it, connect with them on that level, and then offer up the information here from the message grid based on that member's concerns. And then practice so you're comfortable with your coworkers, with your colleagues, with other union members, or with your family members. Those are the elements of an effective one-on-one. So how can we mobilize our members and get them invested in Labor 2016? We've looked at recent polling, and we've looked at some tested messages, and we've looked at those elements. Now it's moving our members. The key to mobilizing our members in the most powerful way we can is to move beyond handing out a flyer to really engaging our members in conversations about what's important to them and about how they can be part of creating change, first, by doing that all-important thing of voting, second, volunteering, and third, talking to others. Where can we engage our members? We mentioned before there are the four pillars. First is that local union mail. At this point in the election, it would be great if we had a piece of local union mail going out to those members on targeted issues that they care about. If the concerns are trade and job loss, targeting the letter to that the members and reminding them about the positions of the candidate. So the first piece is getting that local union mail out. Second is those member-to-member phone banks. Again, members are the best messengers to other union households and members. And we can do that through the virtual phone bank. In every Tier 1 state, we are running phone banks 7 days a week between now and Election Day. And if you're interested in setting up a virtual phone bank for your local, you can contact Michelle Penson, whose contact information is listed here, and she will walk you through these steps. In addition, it was already shared with you with the PowerPoint, there's a guide on establishing and setting up a virtual phone bank for your members. The next piece is that member-to-member canvas. Right now, we are walking every weekend and most weeknights in Tier 1 states. Additionally, most Tier 2 states have at least 3 to 4 canvases a week. Those shifts are normally in the late afternoon, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. in order to reach the maximum number of people after work. And then on the weekends, there's a morning shift, 9 to 1, and then 1 to 4 on Saturdays. And in some states, a Sunday canvas in the afternoon, 1 to 4. But once we start the ever-important get-out-the-vote, we will be walking and talking every day, really having those conversations with our members and turning them out to vote. Lastly is recruiting volunteers. This will not be won without more feet on the street and union members talking to union members. So recruiting members at union meetings, at steward meetings, wherever union members gather, whatever event it might be, recruiting them to be part of Labor 2016 and our efforts to make sure we have a Clinton presidency. So I know we've gone through a lot of information in a very short period of time, and there's much more we could cover. I want to review some key resources available to all of you to assist you in your member-to-member outreach. First is the Working Families Toolkit, and I'd like to get a sense of how many folks on the phone have used the toolkit before or at least know what the toolkit is. So if you've used the Working Families Toolkit previously, please press 1 on your phone. Or if you've heard of it, maybe just haven't had a chance to play with it a lot. If you would please push 1 on your phone, and then Jamie will show us our results. Okay, looks like 8 folks, 34% of the folks on the phone have used it or at least heard about it. Excellent. So we have some folks with some experience. What I'm going to show you is a few screenshots for this valuable online resource where you can access campaign flyers for electoral and legislative issues, training materials, and other informational materials. In addition, with the PowerPoint that was sent to you earlier, you have a guide on how to access the Working Family Toolkit. I'm going to briefly walk through a few screenshots. The first shot here is an overview of the navigation screen. For anyone who's ever been on Amazon or any other shopping site, you'll see some very familiar buttons at the top. So this is our basic navigation. What are my favorite things? What's in my cart? What's the status of my orders? And how can I get assistance? You'll see below that there's a search bar. If you want to go on and look for something that is related to a, say, levy in your state, you could type in that information and do a quick search. But there's also this advanced navigation on the left-hand side, and it's a very helpful tool when you want to sort either by state or by issue or by type. So if you are working in Florida, you can click on Florida and get everything that is currently available for that state. If you want to look at everything that is related to a state-level race, you could click on that and it would give you everything for those state races. So there are a lot of different ways to search this information. Again, there is a ton of valuable information on here that can be a good tool for your union outreach and your member-to-member contact. So let's look at the next page. This is an opportunity to customize your flyer for both your local or your union and your contact information. Most, but not all flyers on the toolkit are customizable. As you can see here, it says an important message from. So if you want to put an important message from your union, from OPEIU Local 2, from regional, you can put what you want there, and it's going to show up at the top of the flyer. In addition, you can add the logo. So if OPEIU, you want to put that logo on there, you would insert it, refresh your images, and it would show up at the bottom of your flyer. In addition, it provides an opportunity at the bottom to add contact information. As you can see here where it says for more information, contact X at whatever number, or you can put a web page. Again, most of these are customizable, and some flyers allow you to customize the content as well and may give you 2 to 4 options on what you'd like to include on your comparison piece. Let's look a little bit closer at the types of materials. As you can see, these are 3 different flyers from the state of Ohio. On the left, we have a county commissioner race. And there's, again, various types. We have comparison pieces, what we would call a positive piece around that specific candidate. You can have a negative piece for the opposition. So our one here is a county commissioner. It's a positive race, and it's designed for member-to-member outreach. The one in the middle is an issue flyer, in this case, an important levy in the city of Toledo. And then the one on the right is a comparison piece. This is done for the Association of Retired Americans. It's a comparison on the Senate piece. So it's up to you to personalize those pieces you want, and you can also do back-to-back. So if you would like a flyer with Hillary Clinton-Trump comparison on the front and your Senate race for your state on the back, you can do that, adding in your OPEIU local and your local contact information. I just want to highlight that while there's a lot of good information on here for the election, the Working Families Toolkit is a year-round resource, and I encourage you to look at it and see what other materials might be helpful for you. Earlier I mentioned pledge cards. Pledge cards are an effective tool for updating our member information and getting our members to commit to voting. In addition, they can help us track those worksite conversations in order to assess our progress towards goals. On the left is a pledge card from Ohio that we're using to engage members and to track our progress with those all-important worksite conversations. As you can see, on the right-hand side of the pledge card, it asks members to pledge to take an action. In this case, I pledge to vote, I pledge to go door-to-door, to be a worksite coordinator, or to phone bank. Cards like this one that help us capture members' contact information, in addition to being really good literature, help us confirm up-to-date information for our members so we can contact them for that all-important get-out-the-vote effort. At the bottom, it also includes a reminder. Election day is November 8th, and we include the polling location and polling times for that particular state. These cards are available right now in all Tier 1 states in AFL-CIO offices, and they can also be ordered on the Working Families Toolkit and, again, can be personalized. You see on the right here, this is one that was personalized for the UAW. There are different forms of this pledge card. On the left, you see the vote and make your voice heard, and on the right, it's really using a negative comparison for Donald Trump. So it goes back to what resonates best with your members in your local. The Working Families Toolkit can be accessed at this link. And Emmy Torres, our staff person, is always willing and available to help folks who have questions about how to either access it, how to produce a flyer. In addition, you were provided the guide on how to use the Working Families Toolkit. So if you have additional questions after reviewing the toolkit guide and trying it out, please contact Emmy Torres directly, and she would be happy to answer your questions. There's a lot of resources. We've created an online resource index to make it easier for you as union activists to access the various Labor 2016 materials. The link is here at the top, and please note that that link is case sensitive. Some of the materials you can find on there are a host of different training modules. If you want to train folks on common sense economics, how does the economy affect working people? If you want information how to run a canvas or how to conduct a worksite organizing campaign, that's accessible there. And again, all of these are modifiable to really fit your local and your members. In addition, there's a tremendous amount of information on the Tier 1 and Tier 2 states. Where are those staging locations? Who could you call to ask questions? What are the welcome packets? What's included in that? I encourage you afterwards to please take time to look at this resource index, get, use, and adapt to best fit your membership. Another good resource is the Working American Coalition resource page. The Working American Coalition is a great tool for information on voter registration for your state. What's the deadline? Where can I go to file my registration? You can drive your members here to get many of those questions answered. In addition, there's information on voter rights and how to get active in the state. So if you have members taking that next step into activism, they can join the Working America Coalition page and get included in Labor 2016 updates. I'll show you the link is here, www.workingamericavotes.org. The key part of this particular resource page is the events page. If you have those members who say, yes, I absolutely want to get involved, but I'm going to be in a different area, is there something going on in that area, they can go to this page, type in their zip code, and find out what's happening in their area. So as you can see on the example on your screen, there was a canvas and phone bank in Kansas City this last weekend. And it will tell your members, where can I go, what time is it, what kind of activity is it. In this case, it was held at the Communication Workers Local. This is another way for folks to get engaged. And again, they just put in their zip code, and it will give them that list of what's happening in their area. And you can access this page at this link. Again, this particular link is case sensitive. And it's a link you can share widely with your members and activists who are interested in getting involved. There are two other helpful links I'd like to highlight. The training materials link has a variety of resource materials available for your use. It has additional materials, and you can link from either of those two that we've given you. In addition, there's the Women's Toolkit for Labor 2016. This toolkit has resources for running worksite organizing campaigns to really engage our women members and women activists, using messaging that is targeted for women, and using pledge cards that have been adapted for union activists, women union activists, to bring them in and to increase their activism. Both of these links have a wealth of resources that you may find helpful for your members to member work. Lastly, there are the folks on the ground in the Tier 1 states that can provide you support for engaging your members in the campaign and for answering specific questions for your particular state. These are the state leads for our Tier 1 states. You can also access the state lead information on the resource index that we showed earlier. All of these folks are accessible to answer questions on how can you plug in, where can you get materials, what's happening in my state, what are the biggest challenges. So I know we've covered a lot of information in a short period of time, and we have a few minutes left for questions. So I'd like to open it up now for questions. If you have a question, please press 1 on your phone. Looks like we have one hand up, Jamie. Try to get you unmuted here, Nicholas. You should be unmuted. Go ahead.
Nicholas, maybe muted on your end.
Oh, sorry. I pressed 1 by accident. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. Okay. Anyone else with questions? Again, I know it's a lot of information. It takes time to digest. Okay. West Coast rules, they don't have any questions. In which case, we have a final question for all of you. Again, this is going to be a press on your phone. Ask you, press 1 if the information we went through tonight was great, you have a ton of new tools to use and engage in your members, and you are fired up and ready to go. Press 2 if there was a lot of good information and now you just need some time to go through and review all those resources and get started, count you in. Press 3 if you're totally fired up and there's good information but you have a few questions before you really dig in. So again, press 1 on your phone, you're good, you're set, you're ready to go. Press 2, it's like, yep, lots of good info, I just need to digest this a little bit more, but I'm in. Or press 3, it's like, This is great, but I have a few questions before I get started. So press 1, 2, 3 on your phone, and we'll take a look at the results. All right. So it looks like we have 6 folks all fired up. You're good. You have what you need. And we've got 10 folks that I just need to get in there and dive in and review this a little bit more, but you are fired up and ready to go. And as Nicole said earlier, if you have additional questions, please send in those questions to her. We are happy to get whatever information would be most helpful to you all. I'll turn this over to Nicole.
Thank you so much, Yvette. That was fantastic. And like you said, a lot of information. And, you know, I can vouch for the toolkits. They are so helpful. I use them all the time for our messaging, to get quotes and things that have been said by both the candidates. And, you know, Yvette, while I have you, let me ask you a question. Say a member only has a minute or two to talk to someone. Do you think that approaching it by talking positively about Clinton versus negatively about Trump, which way do you think is the most effective messaging in a short time?
I would say drawing a comparison depending on what the person says their concern is, because that helps drive the rest of the conversation. And it's interesting because for some membership groups, we have found that using negative Trump has turned them off. So for those folks, they're using all positive. So say whatever their biggest concern is, start with a comparison point from the messaging and move from there.
I think that's right. I totally agree. Oftentimes, the more we hit with the negative, the more it kind of makes people dig into their own beliefs, you know, so that they have. So going with a comparison is a great idea. So thank you very much. And like Yvette said, if you do have any questions that come up later after you're looking for all this material, send it to me. I can always forward it to Yvette and get you any answers that you need. But most of all, we want to thank you guys for taking the step to take the time to be with us and, you know, and getting out the vote in your local area. We really, really do appreciate it. So thank you all, and have a great night.
Thank you all.